This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. And here's a question for you. We exhale what gas that plants need in order to live? Well, if you answered carbon dioxide, you're correct. And pretty easy, right? Well, that was the $2,000 question on the premiere of Fox's new hit quiz show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?, in which grown-ups compete against 9, 10, and 11-year-olds. Fifth Grader proclaims itself an atypical game show. According to its website, it measures adults' lack of knowledge, which raises the question, are quiz shows getting dumber? We're going to hear from two guests who answer that one yes. One of them is 74-time Jeopardy champion Ken Jennings, so we're going to ask him to put all of his answers in the form of a question. Later on in the program, one woman's quest for a shopping bag from every single store at the Mall of America. But first, the dumbing down of TV quiz shows, and we need to hear from those of you playing the home version of the Talk of the Nation game. Are quiz shows getting dumber? Do you like it that way? Examples, please. And why is this happening? Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And we begin with Paul Fahrey, reporter for The Washington Post, who wrote a story called Easy Does It with New Quiz Shows, BoobTube Earns Its Name. He joins us here in Studio 3A. Thanks very much for coming in.
Hi, Neil.
And just how dumb are today's talk shows? And I guess we're comparing them to the talk shows of the 1950s and 60s.
Yeah, well, I think they're a lot dumber, especially compared to the talk shows of the 1950s. In the 1950s, certainly a different television era. In the 1950s, it was about the elites, about, these grandiose displays of knowledge. The famous quiz show scandals involved the show 21. The questions were mind-bogglingly tough, certainly in and of themselves, but also in comparison to what passes for quiz show questions these days.
So the idea in those days was to celebrate, I guess, people who knew a lot of stuff.
People tuned in to watch experts, to watch these amazing brainiacs display their knowledge. And the questions were so obscure and so amazingly tough that people would probably turn off the television set now because they're just too hard.
And my producer has just informed me that I said the dumbing down of talk shows, which also may be happening. We did mean quiz shows. I apologize for that. And why is this happening? And who's to blame, Paul Fahrey?
Well, as I mentioned, it's a different era of television. In the 1950s, television was new. Television was trying to prove itself as a medium. It was trying to be respectable. And so it was also trying to be sort of educational. And you had opera on television. You had live drama on television. You had a lot of things that, to our mind these days, look very intellectual and very prestigious. And so were the quiz shows. So the quiz shows tried to be high-minded at the same time as the rest of the programming. Today, of course, television is not new. Television is in every home around the world, basically. So it doesn't have to reach higher. It can reach lower. And in fact, that's exactly what has happened with quiz shows.
So again, going for the lowest common denominator, as something television's pretty good at.
Well, not even so much the lowest common denominator, but a specific common denominator, young people. The advertisers want young people to watch television. They don't, as a general rule, they watch some things. But to get young people, you have to, I take it, make the questions a little more frivolous, make them a little bit more about pop culture, what young people would presumably know. And so it's engineered in a way to get them to tune in. And, if other people come along, that's great. But it's really the 18 to 49, the 18 to 34-year-old demographic that they're really looking for.
Well, let's get some callers in on this conversation. 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. Stephanie's with us. Stephanie calling from Sedona, Arizona.
Hi. Well, I just wanted to say that, it's fun to, it's good to laugh. We just need things to laugh at, and it's fun to laugh at yourself, or especially can't answer some of those questions, and I'm like, oh my God, how can I not know this?
But can't answer the questions on which show?
Well, specifically, I guess I was thinking of the the fifth grader.
The
show.
Fifth grader show, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's hilarious, and I'm just finding I need things to laugh at. We are just going through so much stress in this nation, and who cares what we laugh at? As long as it's not hurting somebody, it's great to laugh.
Sure. Fair enough. Who are you smarter than a fifth grader is really about suspense. It's really about embarrassment as well. It's really not about knowledge. It's not about education. It's a relaxing show and actually quite an enjoyable show. But the title says it all. It's geared for about a 10-year-old level of knowledge. And of course, there are things that adults have forgotten. That's the tension of the show. But nevertheless, the questions, pretty much are stuff you left behind in elementary school.
And you get three choices, and one of them is pretty clearly not the answer.
And you can cheat. That's the other factor that's come in since Who Wants to Be a Millionaire became popular. The idea that you can call a friend, the idea that you can look at the expert mm-hmm. answer. This is a new crutch that was introduced about 8 years ago and has proven quite popular. All the game shows now seem to use it.
Hmm. Stephanie, thanks very much for the call.
Well, if I just may say one more thing, I guess shows are for entertainment. And so, are they dumbing them down? So what? So what? Let's laugh. Let's have a reason to smile and laugh at ourselves. Thanks a lot.
Well, speaking of laughter, there is, of course, a famous parody of the game show Jeopardy that was broadcast on Saturday Night Live.
Let's just go to Animal Sounds for 600. This is the sound a doggy makes. Mr. Connery.
Moo.
No.
And let's bring in a guest who I think might have gotten that one right. Ken Jennings is a 74-time Jeopardy champion and author of the book Brainiac, Adventures in the Curious, Competitive, Compulsive World of Trivia Buffs. He joins us from the studios of KXOT in Seattle, our member station there. Ken, nice to talk to you again.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks for having me.
And you're, of course, the record-breaking champion of Jeopardy, winning a grand total of 74 times. Have you noticed a difference in the level of difficulty of the questions over time on Jeopardy?
I think I have. I mean, Jeopardy is a tricky case because of all the shows in the TV universe, it appears to be the game show that has dumbed down the least. No one would complain that Jeopardy is geared at the are you smarter than a fifth grader contestant? But, when I wrote my book, I wrote about, being a 9-year-old fan of Jeopardy. I'm a lifetime Jeopardy watcher. And, of course, it's hard to gauge what's hard for a 9-year-old versus what's hard for someone 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
But I sort of feel like even Jeopardy has gotten a little lighter, a little fluffier, a little pop culture-ier, yep. Less than any other show.
Paul Fari, in your piece, you gave an example.
Yes, I think Jeopardy has. Of course, it's over a long period of time. Jeopardy has had two major incarnations. But over that time, the 60s to early 70s period seems to have been a bit tougher in the way they phrased the questions. For instance, in the category of U.S. presidents, one example that I got was the clue might be our American cousin, which is kind of amorphous, kind of difficult. What are they looking for there? The correct response, of course, would be some version of what was the name of the play Lincoln was watching when he was assassinated. In the latter version, the current version that's on now, the question or the clue might be inverted to carry more hints. For instance, the question might be, he was watching our American cousin on the night of a fateful event. Now, that's much more information, makes it suggest an answer much more so than just giving the clue, our American cousin. These things are hard to know, but that kind of example suggests that it has gotten progressively somewhat easier.
Would you agree with that analogy, Ken?
I would. I saw examples of questions that Jeopardy tried to make look a little harder than they were. I remember seeing an oft-displayed clip of me answering a question about what's the only national anthem in Latin America that's in English, or the only Central American national anthem that's in English. And the question is designed to make it look like whoever gets it right knows all their Central American national
that's
anthems.
Right.
Well, that's really not true. All you need to know is that there is only one Central American country colonized by Great Britain. And there's quite a few questions like that where little tricks make the questions a lot easier for the player than for the, bewildered home viewer.
Well, let's get a question in here from Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy.
Black Americans for 500. Robert Peary's companion on several Arctic trips. He wrote the 1912 book, A Negro Explorer at the North Pole. Mitch.
It was Matthew Henson.
That's right.
And again, Ken Jennings, it's a lot of the times it's the category that gives it away. I mean, that even our American cousin might have been a lot easier if the clue was, if the category was assassinated presidents.
Yeah, I've seen cases where Jeopardy has very carefully tweaked the category to make it specific enough to help the contestants get it right. Instead of just being U.S. states, it'll be the Midwest. Or instead of newspaper headlines, they'll actually say newspaper headlines of the past 20 years, when pretty much the only object is clearly to make it more accessible to the players and the viewers.
And of course, the thing about Jeopardy, and Ken Jennings knows this better than anybody, is it's not just a test of knowledge, but it's a test of speed. You have to be faster than the other guy. And what made Ken so amazing was how quick he was. Not only just his breadth of knowledge, but his speed at the buzzer is just phenomenal. Are You Smarter Than the Fifth Grader, One Versus 100, all of these other shows, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, they give you unlimited time to answer. You're not under pressure the way you are on Jeopardy.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Don. Don with us from Detroit.
Yeah, I think we're missing the whole point here, and I don't really want to criticize your listening audience, but they're dumbing down the TV shows and those type of shows because the American...
We had a little dropout there on your cell phone. Don, try it again.
I'm sorry. Yeah, the reason they're dumbing down the shows is because the American public is dumbing down. Who's going to watch a show where you can't answer the question? I remember the first time I watched Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
93 million miles. It's Ken Jennings. Do you agree that the American public is dumbing down?
I think that's clearly what the game show producers would tell you. You know, they're not driving this trend. They're not to make us dumber. But they're limited by what their viewing audience knows. These game shows only work because of play-along, because of someone sitting on the couch yelling out answers through a mouthful of Doritos. And if you don't have that effect, if the person at home is completely bewildered, the show doesn't work.
You know, I'm not so convinced that the public is dumber, certainly compared to the 1950s. We've had 50 years of progress in education. Many more people have attended college, many more people postgraduate. We are a better educated nation than we were in the 1950s. The question becomes is the dictates of television. What is it that television wants? And television wants something that is relatable to the audience, something that the average person in the audience can feel good about. In the 1950s, again, it was the wonder of these experts. In the 1990s and the 2000s, it's about expertise.
We're talking today about game shows. How hard are they? How hard should they be? What difference does it make? Time for a short break. More of your calls when we come back. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. How often do you watch a TV game show and congratulate yourself on getting the right answers? Well, you may want to hold off on the champagne. Our guests today say quiz shows are dumbing down. And still with us are Paul Fahre, a reporter with The Washington Post, who wrote a story about this, and Ken Jennings, a former Jeopardy champion, indeed the champion of champions on Jeopardy. What do you think? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's turn now to Matt. Matt's with us from San Antonio in Texas.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just wondering what your guests thought about game shows like ESPN's new show, Stump the Schwab, that still have a focus on intense trivia knowledge and are really difficult but are very specialized.
It's the sports show, and I've seen it, and boy, is it really, really, really hard, Paul Fahre.
Yeah, that's a different take on it. ESPN did a sports quiz show back in the early 90s, I believe. It was just as hard, and it was amazing because you had these people on who knew everything about the Cleveland Indians and everything about the Lakers, and you know, that was more in the style of the 1950s, where you just sat back amazed by what people knew. And it wasn't about trying to relate to it. If you got one right, you felt good about yourself.
Yeah.
And you often couldn't do that.
And instructive, perhaps, that both of those shows are off the air.
Yes, that's true.
Interesting. Game shows, quiz shows in Britain are much tougher than here in this country. We have a clip of tape here from Matt. Thanks very much for the call. We have a clip of tape here from a show called Junior Mastermind. The Mastermind show is impossibly difficult, but just listen to some of the categories that these kids have chosen for their main subject to be quizzed on television.
And your chosen subject?
The Plantagenets. The music of the Beatles. The Artemis Fowl series of books.
The history of Cadbury's.
The films of Hayao Miyazaki.
Black Holes.
The Historic Materials trilogy by Philip Pullman.
black holes, the Plantagenets. Ken Jennings, this is a little bit beyond what most fifth graders to pick out a class would be quizzed on in this country.
That's true, but you know this that clip and your last caller have pointed out something interesting, which is the idea of specialization. On a show like that or on Stump the Schwab, where very specialized knowledge is being tested, it's easier to see someone excel and sort of admire that freakish intensity of their interest in one particular subject. I think maybe where we've where we've declined as a society is just in this sort of general cultural literacy about everything. You know, it was much easier to be a Renaissance man and Thomas Jefferson's day when there was much less to know. And today with this, boom of proliferation of knowledge about so many subjects that didn't even exist 50 years ago, I think it's hard to be one of these people that knows a little bit about everything, and much easier to be the kid who studies up on the Plantagenets or the Schwab, who knows his baseball stats backwards and forwards.
Well, the show Mastermind is really a show about sadism. That camera approaches that black chair relentlessly over that 2 minutes, and people dissolve in front of you, Paul.
I was in England at the end of December, and I watched a fair amount of television over there, and I have to say their quiz shows were really not much better than ours. The show that you just played the clip from, of course, is about very special kids who have expertise in a particular subject, but the average over there really isn't terribly different. And I've seen the same kind of commentary about dumbing down both in England and in Australia, where the same game shows are replicated.
Let's get Aaron on the line. Aaron with us from Inks Ridge in Alaska, is that right?
Hi, Neil. No, it's Anchorage.
Anchorage.
It's regular old Anchorage.
Okay, go ahead, please.
My question is, why are we looking to television for intellectual stimulation? I mean, you're not going to find it there.
A vast wasteland, to quote Newton Minow?
Indeed. Judge Judy, wife swap, the list goes on and on.
And I guess, Paul Fahrey, it's fair to say that maybe, Family Feud was not the acme of
sure.
intellectual effort back in the day we were talking
Price
about.
Price is Right, not great learning
Queen
there.
Queen for a Day.
Queen for a Day. Well, you know, there's a difference between game shows, per se, and quiz shows. And quiz shows are a special subcategory of game shows. Let's Make a Deal, Price is Right, Match Game, Newlywed Game. There's all kinds of variety of game shows. Yes, we shouldn't really look to television for a great deal of entertainment, but television does tell us a lot about our society and about our nation and what we value and what we find interesting and entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, what do you do? Where do you go for your intellectual stimulation?
Well, I'm a high school teacher, so I go to the kids.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, no, I read a lot. How about that?
There you go. Thanks very much.
All right, thank you.
Here's an email from Mark in Columbus, Ohio. I really don't like this dumbing down of quiz shows, including the fifth grader show. Many of them remind me of the jaywalking bits that Jay Leno does. But what even bothers me more is that they drag out the answers. I guess they're trying to add drama, but it really makes it boring to me. That Paul, you made that point earlier.
Yeah, and the jaywalking thing is a really interesting parallel because Jay does his bit in Los Angeles. I grew up in Los Angeles. I know many people in Los Angeles, and I'm wondering if there is in some ways a Los Angeles phenomena here. Game shows get their contestant pool from Los Angeles. To generalize to America might be wrong. I mean, we may be seeing a kind of telegenic Los Angelino on the air who is not necessarily representative in any way of the intelligence of the average American. Again, these are very specialized people. They're on television. They're selected for their qualities of telegenicness. It's not necessarily we can generalize much further than
and
that.
And presumably, if by mistake they interviewed Stephen Hawking, that might not end up in the clip that they use on the air.
Right. Why don't you go get some college professors or even some graduate students? You might find a different result.
Mm-hmm. Ken Jennings, from the contestant's point of view, I wanted to ask you about that drawing out the answers part.
Well, Jeopardy is unique in that it's one of the last quiz shows left that does not go to that actually does emphasize the fast-paced exchange of trivia rather than the long, drawn-out spotlights and orchestra hits and, the manufactured spotlight drama of these millionaire-influenced quiz shows. And, it becomes clear to me when you watch the millionaire generation of quiz shows that the show is no longer really about the, can you answer it ahead of the contestant on the screen? It's more about will he or won't he, will she win the money, won't she win the money? It's more about the drama and the effect of the choice rather than whether or not the viewer knows the mm-hmm. answer, which I think was sort of the aim of the earlier quiz shows.
And
Yes, it's very true. I mean, this is television, remember. It's not education. And all of the elements on a game show, a quiz show, you know, go into adding up to its entertainment value. And, for instance, on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the questions are almost a small part of everything that's going on, the host, the lights, the music, the mm-hmm. audience. It's a small part of the whole overall entertainment experience.
Mm-hmm. Rosemary's with us. Rosemary calling from Sandusky, Ohio.
Hi.
Hi. Talk to
you. I've got three kids. They're seven and nine, second and third grade. And I think that with the choice between really dumb cartoons, teeny bopper dramas, or Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, I'd rather they watch the Are You Smarter.
They might learn a thing or two.
Yeah, they challenge themselves to answer all the questions, and they feel really good when they get the fourth or fifth grade questions right. You know, I'm in the target demographic, but I tune in for the kids.
Thanks very much for that. I guess that's a point, Paul Fari. I mean, for young kids, this is not so bad.
This is quality family viewing. This is what the whole family can watch. You know, if it's dumbed down, so be it. It has other things going for it. Jeff Foxworthy is really quite a good host. He's very personable. The kids are lively and entertaining. I can't put the show down. I'm just looking at the very specific questions that are used. Not the brightest.
Mm-hmm. Here's an email from Marla in San Antonio. I'm a longtime Jeopardy fan, but I have to say the newer shows like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, etc., are better for my kids, young teenagers, and I like to watch as a family. The newer shows are more on their level. We have a great time playing together, unlike with a more challenging show like Jeopardy, which held no interest for the kids. And Ken, I have to say, I'm with you. I watched Jeopardy all the time when I was a kid.
Yeah, I think to a degree there is something a little bit snobby about us saying, you know, it's more important to know, you know, Henry VIII's wives than Larry King's wives or whatever the example is. You know, these shows still are requiring knowledge. It's just requiring, you know, a more pop culture-y, a more modern contemporary kind of knowledge. But that's still the kind of thing you need to get through the day in so many social and even professional ways that, you know, I don't know if we can really put that down and say, well, in my day we had questions about special relativity on the tube.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, these questions are just as specific and in a way, just as challenging.
And as Paul's pointed out, TV is different now than it was those years ago. And there are other places you can go to get more demanding kinds of challenges. You know, the web, certainly, the computers can. And you write in your book about all kinds of trivia games that are immensely challenging.
Yeah, that phenomenon has created some sort of trivia elite that, you know, doesn't need to bother with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, because they have their own, you know, avenues for their style of very hard trivia. And, you know, it's also true that TV channels have proliferated that deliver sort of cerebral content, documentaries and history and science. And, you know, we don't expect that from the big three networks anymore. And as a result, that audience has migrated elsewhere.
Let's go to Stefan. Stefan's with us from Cincinnati. Stefan, you there? 3, 2, 1. I'm terribly sorry, Stefan. Let's see if we can go instead to Robert. Robert's with us from South Norwalk in Connecticut.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, I think you just kind of answered my question and responded to it. I feel that in this day and age that the people who are looking for intellectual stimulation aren't going to probably spend in half an hour in front of the boob tube waiting for Jeopardy to ask questions that would otherwise, you know, give them stimulation they might find on A&E or Discovery or the Internet. So the demographic has just changed that's watching the talk shows, has it not?
Paul?
Well, you know, talk shows have, game shows have tended to appeal.
You made the same mistake.
Yeah, sorry about that. Quiz shows have tended to appeal to an older audience, and they still do. Jeopardy has long been one of the most popular shows in syndication, has a generally older audience. Perhaps it's something that people grow into, although I can tell you that as a kid, I loved Jeopardy. I remember the old Art Fleming days even. And, you know, I would get one out of two boards, and I thought I was a genius. But I just loved the pace of it. I loved the mm-hmm. test of the knowledge. I didn't have to grow into it. Perhaps kids today, young people today, will grow into a smarter and faster-paced kind of quiz show.
And Ken, I think it's fair to point out that even Jeopardy is usually preceded by Who Wants to Be, not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but The Wheel of Fortune, not exactly Einsteinian material.
Right. I mean, it's a show that is about something totally different. And we do have to remember that, you know, the point of the fifth grader show is not to gauge America's falling or rising intelligence. It's, you know, these are very carefully cast kids and carefully cast contestants, and it's a comedy show.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Ken Jennings, who won the game of Jeopardy 74 times in a row, and with Paul Fahrey, who's a reporter for the Washington Post and wrote a story called Easy Does It with new quiz shows, BoobTube Earns Its Name. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation coming to you from NPR News. And let's get Michelle on the line. Michelle from El Cerrito in California.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
One thing that occurs to me that I haven't heard stated yet is that these shows must be so incredibly cheap to produce for the networks that $2 million or $1 million or whatever they're giving away is such a small piece because they're not paying the writers, the actors, all the percentages for follow-on, anything with these shows. So I think they're there to save money as well.
Well, there are writers on those shows, but
yes,
Paul Fahrey?
And that's a very good point. Game shows, quiz shows have been a staple of television since the beginning of television. They've also were a staple of radio before television came around for the very reasons that you state. They're very cheap to produce. The prize money is negligible relative to the cost of producing a one-hour drama or even a half-hour sitcom. And they get ratings. They do pull an audience, as demonstrated by Are You Smarter Than the Fifth Grader, the most successful debut program in Fox Network's history. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire basically saved ABC for several years. It's a durable form. It will never go away. And economically, it makes great sense for syndicators and networks.
That's funny. If somebody posed the quiz question, what TV show saved ABC? I would have said Batman, but I guess that reveals my age. Ken Jennings, obviously the prize money is not negligible in your case.
No, but it's true that it is for Jeopardy, a show that attracts millions upon millions of viewers each night. I think I think it was NBC that recently announced that they're going to go to more game show style entertainment for that very reason, that it doesn't represent the financial risk that scripted hour-long dramas and even comedies do. And so, you know, it's possible we may be living in a game show renaissance coming up for, you know, financial belt-tightening reasons that may be able to give us both the cerebral shows that apparently an NPR audience craves, as well as the dumber fifth grader style shows that are entertaining in a different way.
And if I could add to that, these game shows are worldwide phenomena. If you look at the list of countries that picks up, for instance, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and produces it in its own language, it goes on into the dozens and dozens. Game shows are now sold abroad, and the same shows that you see here, you will see in almost the exact same form in other countries. They have a different host, a different language, but everything else is exactly the same. The music is the same. The audience design, the lighting design, all the same.
And the same annoying lights.
Yeah. The same annoying lights.
Yeah. Michelle, thanks very much for the call. And let's see if we get one last caller in. This is Marie. Marie with us from Cedar Rapids in Iowa.
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
Well, I was going to say that I think that the game shows going more toward the entertainment value rather than the cerebral is a symptom of a broader move in society away from a respect for the liberal education toward the focusing of specialized skills. Does that make sense, or do you need me to clarify that?
No, I think that makes sense. Does it make sense to you, Ken Jennings?
Yeah, I argue very strongly for that in Brainiac, that part of the reason trivia is important is because you don't have to call it trivia. It's just cultural literacy. It used to be the stuff that we all knew before our career and educational niches isolated us in this very specialized knowledge. You know, mm-hmm. It was conversation starters and it was the thing that united us as a culture. And I think we are losing that. And that's the reason why game shows have to ask about celebrity baby names and vanity fashion imprints, because there's so much less knowledge that we all share from that liberal education.
Hmm. Paul?
Yeah, that's true. And I would also say that trivia gets a bad rap because there is no fact that isn't connected to another fact and can lead you on to a much broader search that's much more intellectually stimulating. So don't dismiss it as random facts. Those facts are part of a much larger whole.
Marie, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it. And Paul Fahrey, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Neil.
Paul Fahrey is a media reporter for The Washington Post. He wrote the story, Easy Does It, with new quiz shows, BoobTube Earns Its Name. And we need to thank Ken Jennings as well, not just the 74-time Jeopardy winner, but last year as the celebrity speaker at the American Crossword Puzzle Tournament, entered the contest and won the rookie class. Ken, are you going back to Stanford to defend your title?
I will not be able to defend my title this year, Neil, but if you go, say hi to everybody for me. I had a blast.
I'll be going to Stanford on Saturday, and I'll say hi to everybody for you. I don't compete. I just do the play-by-play of the finals. But Ken Jennings, thanks very much for being with us today.
My pleasure, as always.
Ken Jennings, also the author of Brainiac. He joined us today from KXOT, our member station in Seattle, Washington. When we come back from a short break, why would anyone go to every shop at the Mall of America and spend $15,000 along the way? We'll find out in a few minutes. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.